You're listening to the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. And now here's Pastor Sandy as he teaches through the prophet Jeremiah, chapters 19 through 21.
In chapter 16, God told the prophet to conceal his feelings, both his joy and his grief, lest he be misrepresented, or lest he misrepresent God before the people. Jeremiah was called by God to keep a poker face, to keep a stiff upper lip. Publicly, Jeremiah was instructed to play his cards close to his vest. And yet privately, Jeremiah let it all hang out. He was quick to express to God his disappointments and his frustrations. Jeremiah was strong before the people, but he melted in the presence of God. Peer into his prayer life and you'll find why he was called the weeping prophet. Above all else, Jeremiah was honest. I like to call him the honest prophet. He never minced words. He was brutally frank in his conversations with God. In fact, listen to him in verse 7. O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and have prevailed. Lord, you forced me into this ministry. I didn't enlist, Lord. I was drafted. And I didn't sign up for this. I never wanted to be a prophet. God, you strong-armed me into this. He says, I am in derision daily, and everyone mocks me. Publicly, Jeremiah had been obedient. He kept a stiff upper lip. But privately, nobody likes to be mocked. Nobody likes to always be the brunt of the joke. Everybody likes to be liked. And it was this continual rejection. It wore Jeremiah down. He says, for when I spoke, I cried out, I shouted, violence and plunder. That was the message that God had given him to share. But because of the harsh message, the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. The Jews rejected God's message, but they took out their anger on the messenger. They threw mud at Jeremiah. And don't be surprised if this happens to you. The Christian gospel is good news. But the good news begins with the bad news. You've sinned. You need to repent. You need a Savior. And this is the part of the message that people don't always want to hear. Don't be surprised when they take out their resistance to the message on the messenger. This had been Jeremiah's experience. And in verse 9, he wants to resign. In fact, he turns in his letter of resignation. Listen to his complaint. I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. That's it. I'm done. Here's the keys to the church. Find somebody else for this Sunday. Jeremiah's tired of ministry, of being a prophet. He's weary of the abuse he's gotten from serving God. And yet God had warned him, hadn't he? God had told him to brace himself, that the road would not be easy, that he would be opposed by kings, by princes, by priests, even by the people. By the way, add that all up, and that's everybody. It's one thing to be warned, though, of a hardship, for you to give it a nod and an acknowledgement. It's an altogether different thing to go through the fire, personally. Jeremiah hadn't grasped the enormity of all that he had been called on to endure. He had sacrificed so much. We talked about this last week. He had given up family and friends, rank and riches, munchkins and marriage. I mean, he couldn't have a wife or little kids. In his mind, Jeremiah was doubting if any of this was worth it in order to serve the Lord. This prophet had very little to show for his efforts. Think about it. He served God for 40 years, and he had no radio ministry. He had no mega church, no conference speaking opportunities. Jeremiah preached for 4 decades and didn't have a single convert. I suppose he was into stocks, but not the kind you buy and sell. Jeremiah felt like a prophet without profit. He truly had a non-profit status. Jeremiah felt that he and the ministry were a failure. You know, spiritual service is a tough task for a host of reasons. The demands, the persecution, the sacrifice. But for me, what makes ministry so difficult is the lack of tangible markers. Success in ministry is hard to measure. In business, there's a bottom line. Just look at the spreadsheets. Just figure out the numbers. But in ministry, numbers aren't necessarily a mark of success. Just ask Jeremiah. In fact, numbers can be deceptive. A big crowd, a big budget, big buildings. Big doesn't always indicate God's approval. The Mormons have a lot of people, and they're a cult. Jeremiah had nobody, yet he was precious to God. This is why a pastor, anyone in Christian work, has to learn to keep their eyes on Jesus and God's calling for their life, not the tangible markers. Paul said, we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, Jeremiah wanted to retire. At the moment, his ministry seemed too much to bear. He turns in his resignation in verse 9. He says, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. And yet something happens. Keep reading. He says, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Jeremiah threatened to quit. He tried to quit, but he just couldn't quit. After turning in his resignation, Jeremiah went home that night, and he couldn't sleep. So what did he do? He opened up his scroll, his Bible, and he started to read. And God's word caused him a case of divine heartburn. The Bible burned in his bones, he said. The Word of God stirred him. You know, D.L. Moody once said, I know the Bible is inspired because it inspires me. The Scriptures lit a fire in Jeremiah. God's love, His promises, even His judgments warmed Jeremiah. They brought his passion to such a boil that he just had to speak the truths that God had spoken. He tried to resign from speaking, but after reading God's word, he couldn't stay silent. The pastor tried to button his lips, but God's word kept loosening them. And this is the mark of a true man of God. He doesn't just turn it on and off. He's not just a pastor because it's his job. He's driven by this. He's propelled by God's Spirit and His love for God's Word. Ministry is not just a trade or profession. It is His passion. I love Paul's letters. Three times in Paul's letters, he says he was made a minister. It wasn't just an occupation. God put it in his heart. God worked it into his life. You see, before a man enters the ministry needs to enter the man. Once there was a farmer, he wrote to the church headquarters asking for a pastor to come to his town and start a church. The superintendent wrote him back and he asked him, he said, how big of a man do you want? The farmer replied, well, we're not picky, but when he's on his knees, we would like to have him reach heaven. Jeremiah was a man of God who reached heaven. He says in verse 10, for I heard many mocking, fear on every side. Report, they say, and we will report it. All my acquaintances watched for my stumbling, saying, perhaps he can be induced. Then we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. Notice the irony here. It was the scorn and the opposition that Jeremiah had experienced. This is what caused his initial discouragement. This is what made him want to quit. But now it's the same scorn and opposition that's motivating him to continue on. He says, if I quit, it's going to prove the skeptics right. I'm going to play right into my enemy's hands. It's ironic, but the same reasons that made him think about quitting became the same reasons for him carrying on. You know, I can remember the first time I went through the book of Jeremiah. And I got to this passage. And I'll tell you, it was a rough time in my ministry. I too wanted to quit. And I can remember praying, Lord, folks are so hard-hearted. They're stuck in tradition. They just don't want to be taught your word. And then I would read the scriptures. And God would light a fire all over again in my heart. And I'd start praying, Lord, people need to be taught your word. There needs to be a church that teaches the scripture. Lord, please send somebody to start a Calvary Chapel type church in this community, please. And lo and behold, I had signed back up for the same job I wanted to quit. I can't tell you how many times I prayed in a full circle. You see, often the reasons a pastor wants to toss in the towel are the very reasons that he needs to stick with it. We need to view people's problems as God's opportunities. Verse 11 tells us, but the Lord is with me, he says, as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous and see the mind and heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for I have pleaded my cause before you. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day in which I was born. Let the day not be blessed in which my mother bore me. Now remember, reading these chapters are like reading Jeremiah's journal. We're peeking into a diary here. And in doing so, we get a glimpse at the prophet's feelings. And they're all over the board. You notice that. Look at the severity of his mood swing here. In just one chapter, in just a few verses. In verse 9, he's depressed and ready to quit. In verse 11, he rises up in faith and he prays for victory, vindication. In verse 13, he sings praises to God. And then in verse 13, he turns right back around and he curses the day he was born. Talk about an emotional roller coaster. Did you know that when you pray, you just need to just get it all out there? Did you know you can do that with God? That you don't have to make a lot of sense when you pray. You can just express your heart. You can just get it all out there. You can just tell him how you're feeling. You can be raw. You can be real. God just wants you to take what's inside and express it to him in trust and in faith. Talk about an emotional roller coaster, but we've all been there, haven't we? There have been times when there's been a storm, an emotional upheaval brewing in your heart, brewing inside of you. And this is why we need to learn quickly in the Christian life to never trust our emotions. Our feelings are fickle. They're fleeting. Our faith is not based on emotion. It's based on truth. Here Jeremiah lets his emotions get the best of him. In his book, Pain's Hidden Purpose, Don Baker, he makes an interesting point about tough times. He writes this, pain speaks a strange language. It plays funny tricks on us. It makes us think things and say things and even believe things that are not true. Pain contorts our perspective. It twists our reality. It stretches our trials out of proportion. When the pain subsides finally and God brings relief, we see life more clearly. But in the moment of pain, boy, our perspective can get obscured. I don't believe Jeremiah meant most of what he's about to say in this passage. I'm sure that later on he regretted a lot of what he said and felt, but he was honest. And to that is his credit. He was honest to God. He didn't bottle up his feelings. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be raw, to be real, to pray from your heart. And so he writes in verse 15, let the man be cursed who brought news to my father, saying, a male child has been born to you, making him very glad. Now you kind of get a clue that the man's depressed. He says, and let that man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew and did not relent. Let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noon, because he did not kill me from the womb, that my mother might have been my grave and her womb always enlarged with me. Why did I come forth from the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame? That's rough. He's having a rough day. Realize this isn't God speaking. This isn't even a man speaking from God's perspective on behalf of God. This is just the babble and the prattle of a man's pain. I'm glad nobody wrote down my prayers, some of the prayers I've prayed, especially when I've been hurting, going through a tough time. You remember Jeremiah opened his prophecy in chapter 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." But now the wear and tear of ministry and the pain of rejection has caused him to curse the day of his birth. The prophet wishes that he died in his mother's womb. Having a rough time. Chapter 21. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord when King Zedekiah sent to him Pashur, the son of Melchiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, saying, this is another Pashur. He has a different dad than did the Pashur in chapter 20. This Pashur is an emissary or a messenger of King Zedekiah. And here's the king's request of the prophet Jeremiah. He says, please inquire of the Lord for us, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, makes war against us. Perhaps the Lord will deal with us according to all his wonderful works, that the king may go away from us. Now, it's helpful to note that the book of Jeremiah is not in strict chronological order. It's actually a collection of excerpts from his life. There's a structure to it, but it's not sequential. Zedekiah was the last king of Judah before they fell to Babylon. By the time that he took the throne, the Babylonians had already invaded Judah twice. The first invasion was in 605 BC during the reign of a man named King Jehoiakim, a son of Josiah. Jehoiakim was a wicked king. He brought in a lot of this idolatry. He reigned for 11 years. A second invasion in 597 BC occurred during the reign of Jehoiakim's son, Jehoiachin, who had taken the throne. Babylon stripped the throne from this king Jehoiachin, or Coniah as he's often mentioned, and they deported him to Babylon and they placed his uncle, another son of Josiah, Zedekiah, on the throne. The Jews of Judah never accepted this Zedekiah as a legitimate king, but he was the last one to sit on the throne before Jerusalem fell. And thus, if Zedekiah is on the throne here in chapter 21, it means that the end is near. The fall of Babylon is about to take place. The fall of Jerusalem is about to happen. We're in the final days before the walls are breached and before the Babylonians flood into the city. Now think about this from Zedekiah's standpoint. He's the last king. He's looking over the walls. There's this ferocious army out there. He needs a way out. And so, as a last ditch resort, he sends a messenger to the prophet Jeremiah and says, would you pray for us? Now, it'd been nice had he done that. Somebody had done that 50 years earlier. But now when your back's against the wall, you're at the end of the rope, now you're going to call out to God. That's what he does. Then Jeremiah said to them, thus you shall say to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands with which you fight against the king of Babylon and the Chaldeans who besiege you outside the walls. And I will assemble them in the midst of this city. I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and fury and great wrath. I will strike the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. Zedekiah had asked for God's deliverance. Instead, God tells the king that he'll be fighting with the enemy. Sorry. Because of their sin, God will be against his own people in this battle. They need to learn a lesson. Don't just think that when you're finally exhausted your fun and had your thrills and you're finally out there, that you can turn to God and he'll be there. Perhaps he will. He's a merciful God. He's like that sometimes. But there are times when God has to let you suffer the consequences of what you've sowed. There are times when God lets you hit rock bottom. God may or may not be there to catch you when you feel like He needs to or you want Him to. This is why you need to walk with Him daily. King Zedekiah wanted to know if God was on his side. He should have been asking, was he on God's side? Verse 7, and afterward, says the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, his servants and the people, and such as are left in this city from the pestilence and the sword and the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those who seek their life, and he shall strike them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them or have pity or mercy. Now he does give them some hope. He says, now you shall say to this people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He who remains in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes out and defects to the Chaldeans who besiege you, he shall live. And his life shall be as a prize to him. For I have set my face against this city for adversity and not for good, says the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. Wow! What a response to King Zedekiah. Zedekiah sought for God's intervention, but Jeremiah says, hey boy, it's too little too late. Sorry. The nation's judgment has been sealed. God has decided which side he'll fight on, and that'll be the Babylonians. Jerusalem will be sacked and burned. The only way for the Jews to save their lives is to surrender, to defect to the enemy. If this was a difficult message for Zedekiah and the Jews to stomach, imagine how difficult a message this was for Jeremiah to deliver. Jeremiah was a Jewish patriot. He loved his nation. He loved the people. For a time, earlier in his ministry, he had preached, turn to God and God will deliver you. But now their only hope is to surrender. God is now fighting with the Babylonians. Think of this. Obedience to God was now to commit national treason. That's what obedience to God required, committing national treason. Here's a lesson for us. Even though we love our country, when it becomes apparent that God is on the other side, you need to follow God. Allegiance to God trumps loyalty to country. How this principle might apply in the future to Christians in America is something that we all really need to ponder. Verse 11, and concerning the house of the king of Judah, say, hear the word of the Lord, O house of David. Thus says the Lord, execute judgment in the morning, and deliver him who is plundered out of the hand of the oppressor, lest my fury go forth like fire and burn, so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Jeremiah is calling on King Zedekiah to issue a formal declaration of surrender to the Babylonians. He says, this is the only way to be spared God's fury. Behold, I am against you, O inhabitant of the valley and rock of the plain, says the Lord, who say, who shall come down against us, or who shall enter our dwellings? But I will punish you according to the fruit of your doing, says the Lord. I will kindle a fire in its forest, and it shall devour all things around it. And needless to say, this message didn't provide Jeremiah a bump in the polls. It is going to incite even more persecution.
Jeremiah was chosen by God to speak to the people of Israel, a challenging role for sure. Jeremiah desperately wanted his nation to heed the warnings of judgment that were soon to arrive, but they refused. They chose instead to walk away from God's better way of living for temporary pleasures. Are you being tempted to step away from God's plan for your life? God is patient and merciful. One day, there will be judgment. Now is the best time to come back to your Creator and begin living again for Him. Don't wait. God has something for you right now, right here. We want to be praying for you here at Sandy Adams Radio as you do step back into God's will for your life. Please feel free to call us at 770-736-2828 and share your prayer requests with us. That number again is 770-736-2828. If you'd like to listen to more of Pastor Sandy's messages from the book of Jeremiah, you'll be able to find them online at sandyadams.org. You'll find some great resources there as well, from additional book studies to helpful articles, as well as be able to learn more about this program and Pastor Sandy. That website one more time is sandyadams.org. That's all we have time for today. Join us next time to continue studying through Jeremiah right here on Sandy Adams Radio.